The word of God given to us today is Acts chapter 27, verses from 21 to 26. Acts chapter 27, verses 21 through 26. Allow me to read the words. After they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, man, for I have faith in God that it'll happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island.' Amen." The people who were aboard the Alexandrian ship didn't listen to Paul's warning and left Fair Havens because they wanted to keep their property, their money loaded on the ship. If they had to stay the winter anyway on the Mediterranean Sea until the spring comes and the water becomes calm, Phoenix would be a better place to keep their money safe than Fair Havens. They, however, didn't know what's most important. Luke chapter 12 introduces a parable of Jesus for a wealthy man. There was a rich man. He already had a large fortune, yet again made a good harvest. There was no more space to store in his warehouse. The rich man decided to break down his storeroom and build a new and bigger one. As the property piled up mountain high, he now made his mind to enjoy the rest of his life with doing nothing hard. He believed money could guarantee him an easy and comfortable life that will last forever. Jesus, however, talked about the rich as follows. In Luke 12, 20 to 21, "But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it'll be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God.'" Even if the rich man had a fortune large enough to buy the entire world, his possessions could become nothing when God has his life ended. To a man who has to stand in the court of God with death, the wealth that he might pursue as the purpose of his life becomes rather a heavy burden. Even if he deeply regrets facing death, he had nothing to do with his death that was once determined by God. The end of one's life, who only seeks the richness of the world for his life instead of pursuing the richness toward God, the source of life, is the same without an exception. The case of those on board the Alexandrian ship was no difference. The fact that they disregarded what Paul warned about the danger and kept on sailing was the same as the rich tried to build a bigger storeroom. The rich man believed that a bigger warehouse with more possessions would give him a comfortable and everlasting life as he wished. But he had no idea about a critical fact that on the very night, God will take his life away. Leaving Fair Havens, those on the Alexandrian ship also believed that they would keep their possessions safe until spring comes, when they make it to the bigger port of Phoenix, which will block the wind with the coastlines northwest and northeast. They thought they could make their life even richer when arriving at the Italian peninsula. They, however, at the very moment, could not imagine at all that a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster was waiting for them. The Northeaster, a hurricane of death, had a force that they had never experienced so far. Before such a formidable wind, everything they had was useless. They threw everything away into the sea, including their property they tried so hard to protect. But the storm did not die down even an inch. As darkness keeps deepening instead, they lost hope to be saved. For them, there was no silver lining, and just sink deep into despair. At the very moment, one man among them stood up. At the very moment when all fell into hopelessness, there was one man getting up from despair. As we learned last time, it was Apostle Paul. To those who were caught in despair, he proclaimed to relax. The Greek verb eudemeo, translated into relax, originally means to be pleased. Paul was able to tell people who became hopeless and gave up even the last chance to rejoice, thanks to the word of God. The deathly storm did not pass Paul because he was a great apostle. Paul also was swept by the storm. In the midst of deathly storm, however, God stayed with Paul with his words through the angel of God. In verse 24, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you." According to the providence of God, Paul went aboard the Alexandrian ship to testify the gospel at the imperial court of Rome, the heart of empire. How hard the storm of death sweeps, God must save Paul for the providence of God. If God saves Paul from the deathly storm by letting the Alexandrian ship reach an island or any land, the rest of 275 people on board would escape the storm along with Paul. Therefore, Paul urged those who fell in despair of death to rejoice. What we should pay attention today is what Paul delivers God's words and introduces God as follows. In verse 23, last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me. Paul testifies that God is the God to whom that he belongs. This, most of all, literally is Paul's confession about God. For Paul, God wasn't someone who stays far away. For him, God was the God to whom he belonged. The God to whom he belonged was the Creator God, the God who forgave his sin through sacrificing his only Son on the cross. And the God who would save him forever from death when the last breath stops. As long as such God is the God to whom Paul belonged, no matter how deathly it may be, a storm can never beat Paul who follows God. There was another meaning in the testimony of God to whom he belonged. It was a declaration of Paul's affiliation and identity. The confession of God to whom he belonged was his declaration that he belonged to God. In the interim, he wanted to point out that all those who fell into despair with giving up the straw of last hope belong to the world. Going further, it was his advice that all of them should belong to God. Those who fell in the depth of despair disregarded the advice of Paul and left for Phoenix to save their property and money. They all belong to the world, having the richness as their purpose of life. On the contrary, Paul went aboard the Alexandrian ship unconvicted. It was impossible for Paul, who was waiting for the final judgment of the emperor and was escorted by the centurion Julius and his men, to have even a penny to load on the ship, unlike other ship or cargo owners. What Paul had was only his body on the ship. That is to say, Paul lacked everything in the world. Facing the deathly storm, however, those who were rich and belonged to the world were helpless. The richness of them was not helping them at all. Rather, it became the burden that must be thrown away. Consequently, they had to fall into the depth of despair before the storm of death because of the wealth they had sought after as the purpose of their life. Ironically, the person who stood right up in the midst of the storm was Paul, who lacked everything in the world. He belonged to God. Paul, who served God as the God to whom he belonged. Paul announced his affiliation and identity, that he belonged to God. Such Paul was rich toward God. Facing the deathly storm that led all the people in the depth of despair, only Paul, who were rich toward God, could stand still. Thanks to Paul, who were rich toward God, stood up, the rest of 275 were also able to stand up. Recently, the media reports about the candidates for the ministership and hearings for them on a daily basis. I cannot help myself but laugh at the news. How were the questions, comments, and statements of the congressmen about the candidates? Congressmen from the ruling party defend the candidates, that the candidates are qualified well enough to make the ministers. But do they not remind us of what the members of then ruling party under the Parks administration? Comments made by the congressmen from the opposition party are also the same as those made by then opposition party. They are following and repeating each other without any qualm. The reason that such a funny scene is playing at the National Assembly is because the position and situation of the parties to which the congressman belonged. The Senuri party, which was the ruling party at the previous government, became two different opposition parties, while the Democratic Party, previously the opposition party, became the ruling party. This switch of position has not been long. It's been a month and 10 days. But the congressmen from each party repeat each other exactly the same way that they behaved at the previous government. If there could be a change in the administration again someday, then this would be exactly the other way around. This is not just limited to politicians who belong to a party. People are supposed to belong somewhere, but not any of those groups are absolute or eternal. Groups of this world are destined to change their values and purposes they seek after based on conditions and situations of the time. This is because the world is always changeable, and the humans that constitute the world are imperfect. That's why people talk differently today than yesterday. We'll talk in a different way yet again tomorrow, but have no qualm at all. No matter how hard you try to make it flowery, the purpose sought by the groups of the world ends up being rich in the world. As mentioned early, The wealth of the world is no better than a heavy burden before death. Therefore, no matter how powerful the group may be, it could not become an absolute shelter or home. Such a powerful group many times rather hurt members of the group. Absalom, who decided to take over the throne, meticulously prepared for 4 years. He was waiting every morning in front of the gate, stopped and met those who were supposed to meet the King David. He let them appeal to himself instead of his father. Then he encouraged them after listening to their appeals. He said he understood how they lived right so, how they felt unfair. But the king wouldn't want to listen. So how do we do? If I become the judge of this country, I will find a solution in a righteous way for you. Touched by the words of Absalom, people try to bow down before him, and then Absalom stopped them from doing so, and instead hugged them and kissed in an effort to express he and they were not in a relationship of the king and servants, but an equal relationship of friends. Absalom spent 4 years to do so, severing communication between the people and the King David. The 2 Samuel 15:6 testifies his behavior like this as, "And so he stole the hearts of the men of Israel." Absalom stole the hearts of Israelites unrighteously. Finally, Absalom thought he won the hearts of the people and went down to Hebron with 200 powerful men in Jerusalem. Hebron was the place where his father David ascended the throne. Without understanding, the 200 powerful men had accompanied Absalom. When arriving in Hebron, Absalom proclaimed that he was the king. It was a coup against King David, his father. The 2 Samuel 15:12 testifies as follows. While Absalom was offering sacrifices, he also sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor, to come from Gilo, his hometown. And so the conspiracy gained strength, and Absalom's following kept on increasing. Based on the invitation from Absalom, Ahithophel, staff of the King David, also came to Hebron. Then the 200 powerful men from Jerusalem who followed Absalom without knowing what was happening thought the game was over. They all stood beside Absalom. A new and great power group has been formed with Absalom at the center. When the group of Absalom looked bigger than that of King David, the number of the group kept increasing. It was not because the group was righteous or good. The group was a treason force headed by the son who aimed a dagger to his own father. But as the group was seen to grab the power, people gathered around him thinking they needed to belong to the group so as to gain the wealth of the world. King David, who couldn't imagine his own son would stage the coup, hurriedly left Jerusalem. The group entered the palace of Jerusalem bloodlessly and easily took over the capital. Those who now belonged to Absalom praised them with the same mouth that I praised King David yesterday. It seemed that larger fortune was given to them. However, the army of King David wiped out the military coup, and Absalom died in the battle. Those who belonged to Absalom had to be killed or ruin themselves apart from having more possessions. All the groups in this world are like the group of Absalom in front of God. No matter how great and powerful the group may look before God, it's no difference with the group of Absalom, which momentarily enjoyed success and forever disappeared. Therefore, there is not a certain group in this world . No group can be an everlasting guardian for those who belong to the group. Only God can protect those who belong to God forever. That is why we have to become those who belong to God like Paul, not those who belong to the world like those on the Alexandrian ship. How about us? Where do we belong? Do we belong to this world or God? Are we rich toward the world or toward God? The Lord taught us a simple way to know where we belong. In John chapter 8, verses from 45 to 47, "Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." Whether we belong to God or not depends on the fact whether or not we listen and follow the words of God. Koreans who belong to Korea follow the law of Korea, while Japanese comply with the law of Japan. Congressmen who belong to the Democratic Party go by the rules of the Democratic Party, while those who belong to the People's Party follow the rules of their party. Those who belong to King David abided by the command of King David, while those who belonged to Absalom followed his command, even if it was for a coup. As such, people who belong to the world listen to the world, and those who belong to God listen to the word of God. When those on board the Alexandrian ship had nothing to do more than throwing away their belongings and had no way to escape the storm, there were only roar and outcries, overwhelmed by the fear. That was the only thing that they could hear. Consequently, they all fell into the depth of despair. Under the same circumstances, Paul listened to a totally different voice. It was the word of God telling him to stand in the court of Roman emperor, but not to be afraid. That Paul was able to listen to the world, rather the word of God amidst the hurricane force of Northeaster, was because he belonged to God. Those who belong to God are connected to God through the words. It was nothing strange at all that Paul gained strength through the word of God, even among those who all fell into the depth of despair. Paul was rich toward the words of God. Are we not living for the richness of the world, belonging to the world? Then we would be enjoying the wealth of the world. But if God demands our life away tonight, then it'll be useless even if you have the wealth of this world. Let us not forget that. The wealth which became the purpose would become a heavy burden to us who need to stand before the court of God. Let us all leave this world with clearly expressing our affiliation and identity as those who belong to God like Paul. Let us serve God as our God to whom we belong and become rich people of the Word of God. When connected with God through the words, we would be able to hear the word of God even in the thundering storm or in depth of darkness. As long as we stay in the word of God, our words and our behavior wouldn't change based on what our positions and condition have changed. As long as we are rich in God's words, we would not be fooled by the vain temptation from Absalom for the richness of the world. As long as we rely on the word of God, we will be able to stand upright like Paul, even in the midst of death and despair overwhelming everyone. That is because the word of God and the one who come to this world to be killed to save man's sins and rose again in 3 days, eternally from death. Let us pray. Until now, I only paid attention to demolishing the existing storeroom and building a new and bigger one for the wealth of the world where I belong. Thank you, however, to allow me to recognize that the possessions piled up as the purpose of life would turn into a heavy burden to me when standing in the court of God if God takes my life away today. Like Paul, I would like to live with God, whom I belong to, and as a person who lives with God to whom I belong. Allow my life to demonstrate that I belong to God by listening to and following the Word of God day by day. Help me become a rich man in God's words, who listens to the Word of God in the midst of the hurricane force, in the darkness and silence of the desert. Don't let my words and behavior become different even when my position and status changed because of the Word of God. Thanks to God's words, allow me not to be tempted by the lure of Absalom. Thanks to God's words, help me to stand upright in the midst of the death and despair. Help this world become a footstep of life on which people can get up toward God instead of making this world a huge public cemetery. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.